Hermione.
Hey, so today we're going to talk about race, ethnicity, and differential perceptions of sexual assault on a college campus. And I want to begin by actually thanking my supportive thesis committee. I have no relationships to disclose. So a little background and significance. So women attending higher education institutions are particularly high risk of experiencing sexual assault. But particularly, women of color experience higher rates of physically forced sexual intercourse and emotional coercion by an acquaintance or within a dating situation. Women of color are not only at a greater likelihood to experience sexual victimization, but they are also more likely to be held accountable for the victimization, chiefly when judged by her peers, like her classmates, her friends, and etc. And it's also important to note that within this research, when I say the term women of color, I'm specifically referring to Latinas and African-American students that participated. Okay. So some cultural norms and values. So a woman of color's response to her victimization may be influenced by cultural norms and values not experienced by non-women of color, which also have the power to alter her experience and her subsequent actions after the assault occurs. So said cultural norms and values include and are not limited to rape myth acceptance that fosters self-blame within the woman, internalizations that reinforce the belief that women of color are promiscuous, cultural mandates that reinforce that survivors should be strong and should be able to handle their trauma without assistance, and cultural norms against sharing personal information with strangers. So prejudiced attitudes may exist without personal awareness of the biased beliefs, and stereotypes based on race actually possess the power to influence the behavior and beliefs of both the perceiver and the actual stereotyped individual. So what we have here is an influential, albeit negative, stereotype that has persisted for centuries, and it's the Jezebel. So a Jezebel is someone who is overly sexualized and promiscuous, who exploits a man's weakness and needs. Now, where does this align with the research? So the Jezebel image is often applied to women of all racial ethnic backgrounds, but is most likely used to denote and represent and demoralize a woman of color. And this image is particularly destructive, especially for survivors of sexual assault. Within the confines of this stereotype, the survivor is actually held responsible for her assault and is not seen as a true victim regardless of the circumstances that actually occurred. So the research question that guided this actual research was, how does a hypothetical sexual assault victim's race or ethnicity impact college women's perceptions of victim responsibility, trauma suffered, and perceived need for social support? So recruitment. The eligibility criterion recruitment was actually used for this research. The eligibility criteria included undergraduate students who identified as females and they had to be 18 years or older. The recruitment strategies included advertisements, and that was advertisements in school newspapers and departmental listservs around the school, person-to-person recruitment, and additional targeted recruitment in student of color organizations as to get a better representative sample of the women of color that actually attended the college. So the vignette interview and development. So this vignette, or the vignette used within this research, was developed for this study, presented a hypothetical sexual assault scenario involving an incident of date/acquaintance rape. So the vignette development was guided by a scenario used by Black and Gold in 2008 that utilized concepts such as victim responsibility, trauma experienced by the survivor, social support, sexual stereotypes, and race and ethnicity. And this is particularly important because Black and Gold found that women, which was what the study population consisted of, in comparison to men, are more likely to judge a scenario of sexual assault as an instance of rape, date rape, when it occurs between a female-to-male couple. So along the lines of the vignette and the interview development, we had some study measures that were used to test that were used within the study. So the first study measure we have was victim responsibility, which denotes or which can be characterized by characteristics such as the time and location of the incident, the level of acquaintance with the assailant, and the levels of resistance to the unwanted experience. And the trauma measure was characterized by characteristics such as being physically, verbally, or emotionally harmed, and the level of acquaintance within the assailant. And within the presentation, I have an actual representation of the vignette, and you'll see where these actual study measures fit in and how important they are. Okay. The third study measure we have is social support, which includes characteristics such as rates of disclosure, reporting to the police, support from family and peers, and seeking outside assistance. The sexual stereotype measure includes characteristics such as being overtly sexual, sexually aggressive, promiscuous, and easily aroused. And lastly was the suggested race/ethnicity proponent of the research. So each vignette was altered slightly to contain a different name and discrete identifying statement suggestive of the possible race and ethnicity of the actual person that they were reading. And when we go through the vignette, you'll see how this all comes together. Okay, so here we have the actual vignette. So we had randomized samples each vignette was randomized. So for example, a participant could either receive a vignette that denoted an African American, a Latina, or a white woman, and they were not forewarned about the actual vignette that they were getting. This was just random, just to see what their responses would be, regardless of the race or ethnicity of the person. So when I was discussing the suggested race and ethnicity, here we have the three examples of what was actually used within each vignette. So we have the African American survivor, the Latina survivor, and the white survivor. So for example, if you read the first one, it says, "One evening during her family's annual Juneteenth, a holiday that marks the emancipation of slaves, celebrated annually by African Americans, a cookout, Diamond received a text from James telling her to meet him at 11 p.m. for a late date night movie." And within each we have specific characteristics that should, you know, rouse some type of racial connotation within them without being too explicit. So the study procedures. Before any data was actually collected, an informed consent via a letter of invitation was collected by each participant, and the participants were only identifiable by a study number or a study subject number. And as I talked about earlier, so each participant was randomly assigned a sexual assault vignette, and that could be either the white, the Latina, or the African American woman. And a description of the victim was constructed using the Jezebel stereotype. And this also goes back to the vignette. The vignette, which included maybe four or five short paragraphs, included all of the components that were discussed earlier. So after receiving the vignette, they were actually allowed to do this in a private room, secluded within themselves, and they had as much time as they needed. So they asked to read the vignette and then answer a series of open-ended questions. And just increased recruitment, a $5 incentive was awarded. Okay, so the analysis. The responses from the open-ended questions were actually transcribed verbatim and analyzed using in vivo. And a content and comparative analysis were actually used to go through each and every piece of the qualitative data that we received. So the content analysis included inductively examining the data to identify core consistencies and meanings within each of the open-ended question responses that the participants provided. And the comparative analysis was used to compare the data in order to develop a conceptualization of the relationships within the actual data. So the participant characteristics. Of the college-attending woman, I was able to garner 51 people to participate. 45.1% were seniors, 13.7% juniors, 29.4% sophomores, and only 11.8% of the participants were freshmen. So when denoting the race and ethnicity breakdown, 45.1% were white, 43.1% were African American, and we only had 5.9% Hispanic or Latino, 2% Asian, and two that said other or no response. So the qualitative results. So after going through each of the responses provided in the open-ended questions, I found six overarching themes, and those included affiliation, victim blaming, terminology used to describe the survivor, differences in perceived need of social support, description of the experience, and justification of the sexual assault experience. So if we look at the affiliation theme, we find that this was denoted by descriptions of the participant's assumption about the randomized sexual assault vignette that they received, affiliation to a certain school-based organization. So what we found was that when participants were asked to describe the survivor, so for example, they were asked, "How would you describe the person you just read about?" Most often, they described her as a member of a sorority. So with victim blaming, this theme actually captured how participants attributed responsibility to the white, Latina, and the African-American hypothetical survivor. So within this theme, we actually found that harsh language associated with victim blaming occurred more often when the survivor was African-American or Latina. And here are some examples. So for example, for the participants who received the African-American or Latina survivor within their vignette, they stated things such as, she's responsible since she didn't stop him earlier. She put herself in that situation, She's responsible because she is known for her promiscuity. Now, in comparison to the participants who received the vignette of the white survivor, they said things such as, no means no, she's not responsible. She's not responsible at all, and she was in a committed relationship. So the terminology used to describe the survivor, this theme was actually denoted by descriptive or colloquial terms used to describe the hypothetical survivor in either a neutral, negative, or objectifying manner. So for example, when the participants received an African-American or Latina survivor within the actual vignette, they stated responses such as, she was promiscuous, she was a whore, she was a prostitute, and she was weak. And so just for some little background information, most likely the answers were to this question when they were asked, how would you describe the person? How does the sexual assault encounter that she, the sexual assault encounter she experienced, how does that shape your perception of her? And these were their answers. So in comparison to the African-American Latina survivor, when participants received the white survivor vignette, they said things that they described her such as all-American, a typical college girl who's popular, outgoing, and friendly. And this, if we look at these two examples, we see explicit differences between the two. So differences in perceived need of social support. So this theme was actually characterized by perceptions of whether the hypothetical victim should be supported after her sexual assault. So for example, participants were asked, do you think this person should be supported after the experience she just encountered? And also, this is important to note that social support was a reciprocal function of the survivor's character. So they based whether or not she should receive support for the experience that she encountered by what they thought her personality was like. So for example, and this was across the white, the African-American, and the Latina survivor, this was the response. She gets drunk and uses drugs at a party, thus she does not deserve support. She has a history of making dangerous decisions. She enjoys the act of rape, or she doesn't make any efforts to stop the rape. And these were the answers that they gave in support of why she should not receive support after the experience she encountered. And the description of the experience. So this theme denotes views about sexual assault encounter made, how they made the hypothetical victim feel. So when we asked when participants received the white survivor vignette, they said things such as heartbroken, sad, traumatized, violated, and embarrassed. But in comparison, when they received the African American or Latina vignette, they said things as, she needs to rethink her actions on using her sexuality to get her way. She needs to be more reserved and respectful of her body, and she should be used to this because of her actions. And the justification of the sexual assault experience. Okay, so this just denotes justification of the sexual assault experience. So I basically asked them, why do you think this happened? And for the African-American Latino survivor, the description of the individual justified what happened to her. So for example, when I state that just the first two paragraphs within that vignette, they used that to base their judgment off of. So they denoted things such as promiscuity, personality, and her actions as a reason as to why she was actually sexually assaulted. In comparison, for when the participants received the white survivor vignette, they said things such as, well, participants actually clearly stated that the sexual assault encounter was not her fault. So, discussion. Within this research, we found that attitudes and perceptions of sexual assault are affected by factors such as perceived race of the victim and views on sexuality. Victim blaming was based on gendered characteristics. Perceptions appeared to be exacerbated by race and ethnicity, and responses for the African American and Latina hypothetical victims were more harsh, judgmental, and accusatory compared to the responses for the white hypothetical victim. And future recommendations based on the findings from this research include culturally competent and inclusive education for faculty, staff, and students, including peers, who have firsthand contacts with women of color who are sexual assault survivors. Also, the creation of safe spaces and environments that foster healthy dialogue about social change and the social norms that shape perceptions around race and sexual assault. And I would like to acknowledge the participants, the Women and Gender Studies Carlisle Research Award, and my thesis committee. Thank you.